up, y'all? What's going on, brother?
Dream Champs Radio.
Legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hang segue, this your boy N-O-R-E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN?
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players in music and sports.
You know what I mean?
The most professional, unprofessional podcast and your number one source for drunk facts.
This is Drinks Champ Radio, where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go!
What it good be, nobody's what it should be. It's your boy N-R-E.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
And the Drink Champ Motherfucking Podcast.
Make some noise!
Right now, we got two legends in the building. They together because they did a project that I don't think I've been excited to see a movie, because I feel like you got to get high to see the movie. You got to be, oh, yeah. And then you just had a premiere last night.
Yes.
Where it felt like as soon as it started, everybody lit up.
Yeah, they did. We had a green carpet, man. Everybody came
green
down.
Green carpet.
So it's like we kind of enticed it.
And was the green carpet made out of weed?
Man, I wish it was. You would have sworn it would. There was so much weed inside. I feel like somebody came out there and cut it first.
Right, right. So now, let's talk about this film. By the way, we got...
Yeah, you
got
to announce who's
here. Right, we got DJ motherfucking Boo in the building. Make some noise! And we got motherfucking Lil Duval.
Yeah!
So now... Is this your first time you wrote and directed? Because I know you wrote movies before.
The third time I wrote and directed.
And directed.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote and directed a film called Three Strikes.
Oh, Three Strikes.
Yeah. And then I wrote and directed a film called The Wash, starring Snoop and Drake.
Mm.
And then this film here.
Damn.
Oh, damn, you wrote and directed The Wash. That's right.
Yeah.
Damn. And Snoop is in this joint too, as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Snoop is in here too.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, man.
Snoop Dogg, yeah.
So now, how did you guys come together for this project? How did this work?
How did it meet for real?
Mm-hmm.
Nigga, I met this nigga on MySpace.
What?
I swear to God.
So it goes back.
Yeah, we go back.
Yeah. I thought you meant recently, like you on MySpace now.
No.
That would have been foul.
Tom don't even be on MySpace no more. Tom chilling on Instagram.
So y'all back again. So how y'all meet on MySpace?
He hit me up on MySpace. He's like, "Hey man, I fuck with you. You're funny as hell. I want to do something with you."
Mm.
And I mean, he's a legend. You know what I'm saying? Like I always tell people, he like the Martin Scorsese of hip hop. Did I say it right?
Martin Scorsese.
That would be the hip hop version. Yeah, Martin Scorsese.
Martin Pusquazy, that's how I call him. You know what I'm saying? So when he called me, I was like, man, I'm down with it. And 10 years later, we're here today.
Mm. Let's make some noise for that, goddammit.
Make some noise for MySpace doing something positive.
Well, I gotta take it.
Let me see that.
This?
No,
this? Okay.
Because this is a good thing. You can put it in here.
Mm.
What kind of contraptions y'all have for this stuff?
This nigga. Yeah, I noticed that. This nigga's a real weed dude. Like,
yeah, I am right there.
It was crazy because that just happened. He didn't smoke when we made the film.
I did.
What?
So I feel ripped off. Like, he suddenly started smoking after. But it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah. That's for part two.
But you ain't used to smoke weed before?
Nah, I never smoked a drink.
I was smoking fake weed during the movie.
During the movie, I was smoking fake. I was the only one smoking fake.
So how long you been smoking weed officially?
Like a year and a half.
Okay.
So I call him little OG baby young love.
Yes, because I smoke like a motherfucker now.
Because he got young love.
What happened?
What? I don't know what the fuck just happened.
I don't know. I gotta push it in there with this tight.
Wait, so he went 0 to 100 in a year?
Because
I think it's because my daddy used to do crack, so I got a high tolerance. I got a real high tolerance.
I wasn't ready.
No, for real, like my tolerance is really high. Like I haven't met my match yet.
Right.
They tried to get me. He got his man that used to smoke a pop,
right.
And he tried to get me on that that dab.
Mm.
I did that too. I was still up like this here.
And you had never got high before.
No.
What the fuck?
Never got high.
That was crazy.
That's why I can't do nothing else, because I take stuff to the extreme. So if I did anything.
Yeah,
I'd be dead.
Smoking all the weed.
If I had some coke, I'd be nigga to buy a key and just snort it by myself.
Some Tony Montana shit.
Yeah, for real.
All right. So now you guys meet on MySpace.
Yeah.
And then And from there, y'all start talking about this movie, or it just formed
from
a relationship?
From there, he just formed a relationship.
I was just like, I want to work with you one day. I was just like, man, you funny as hell, man. I just like, you just seem like a cool cat.
Right.
And I want to work with you and shit. And I just thought he was cool, you know? I didn't know he wasn't.
Right.
Man, I love Duval, man.
But because I remember first seeing you like in T.I. videos. Was that your introduction to hip hop?
No, not really, because I was doing stand up and everything. How me and Tip met, he used to come to the comedy club because I used to have this comedy night in Atlanta, and it used to be popping all the time, and Tip was just coming up, but he used to always come to the comedy club. And then he had already had an album out, but it wasn't getting that much buzz as the second one. So when the second one came out, he was like, I want you doing the videos and stuff. And it was everybody. That's when Atlanta was popping, like the Crunk era. Like Lil Jon and everybody like that. So anytime they had a video, they hit me up. And what people don't realize about that time, why nigga used to do a lot of videos, TV wasn't popping at that time for black people. Like it had, after Martin and all that stuff there, there really wasn't no outlet to be on TV.
Right.
So the only way you could be on TV was fucking with hip hop.
A lot of comedians came out in videos.
So that's what I used to do, and I used to kill it. And so from that, it spent into, and then when the internet came in, that's when it went to a whole nother thing. But even before that, I had Comic View and Second Comic View and stuff like that.
So you from Atlanta?
I'm from Florida.
From Florida.
Jacksonville.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I'm from Jacksonville.
Fellow Floridian.
Where you from?
Miami.
Oh, yeah, Miami.
Born here, but raised in Miami.
Oh, okay, okay.
Now, but you live in Atlanta?
I live in Atlanta. I've been living there for a minute, too.
And Atlanta is like black Hollywood, you say that? Is it fair to say that?
I would say yeah.
I say yeah, but I mean, to me, it's probably like how you feel about New York. Like, nah, I know what it is.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? So for somebody else, like, it is like the Great White Hope, where people go like the Underground Railroad for black niggas.
Yeah, black
niggas. You think you can make it?
Yes.
That still is it, but for me, I see it for what it is.
Right. Now, Pooh, you 100% from California, right?
Well, I'm originally from Kansas City, Missouri, but I've been here since I've been young, so.
Now, your career is very interesting because you got the California ties. You could have very easily wrote gang movies, but you kind of like went towards the weed culture.
It's just been, you know what, mostly what I've done has been comedy shit, because I guess I've just been that dude who just always been cracking jokes, just clowning around, but I've always taking a lot of pride in servicing and trying to service good quality content to the hood.
So, because Friday was the first.
That's the first film I wrote.
The first film you wrote.
Together.
Okay. And then how did that take place? Because, you know, we see in the movie, you see Cube and Straight Outta Compton. He's sitting there, like, and I think his girl says, "How's Friday coming along, babe?"
Yeah.
And was it did it go down like that?
Well, you know what? And to him, it did. And then I ain't saying that like
right, I don't.
Like, I said,
well, put it this way, Chris Tucker character, it was about him.
He's
smoking. So I mean, that tells you right there.
But Cube wrote, like, to him, that was his experience writing it, because we wrote on our own in places and collabed together. So I can't take nothing away from Cube. Me and Cube co-wrote that movie. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, it couldn't have been that way if me or him wrote it alone. I think it was the fact that we wrote it together. It was so dope. It was something that we really, you know, put work in on and people love, you know.
When you was doing it, did you know you was making a classic?
We felt like we was doing some shit because we was just having fun with music videos and shit like that. They were new and
you did something with Boys in the Hood too. Like, you wrote something for it?
No, I did a lot of the music stuff and the score stuff and like the drive-by scene that you hear but don't see. Like, pulls up to the stop sign. Everything that you hear and that kind of stuff and a lot of the music under the movie came from just tracks and beats and shit I did because, you know, I produce. But honestly, with Friday, you know, it was more the music videos that we were doing. Stuff like you had me do play the Mac in a video. He got the Mac song in there. And we were just having fun clowning. And he was like, man, let's make a comedy. Let's make a, you know. let's make some funny shit. At the time, it was like Boys in the Hood, Menace, everything.
Everything was
like,
serious.
Yeah, and it was like niggas laughing in the hood.
Was Debo based on a real character?
Yeah, it's a Debo.
I knew it. I knew it. I was like,
you know, but the cool part about it, it's not just this specific one. It's mm-hmm. it's that it one that everybody knows. Yeah, exactly.
Yo, E, you ain't having a drink, man. What's going on? Oh, you don't got no salsa water?
No, we got salsa water.
All right, cool. Let's go on. Come on, man.
I feel like...
Look, that's what I didn't have to ask. Ooh, look at
we almost had sober champs, though.
We almost had sober champs.
I'm sitting up here just soaking in all this. Because all this is hip-hop history.
Hip-hop history. That's... Yep.
You know what else funny? Because we was talking before this thing, and I want to bring this up.
Yeah, please.
I want to bring this up. I don't know if a lot of viewers know this, because they're probably younger, but this was a beat. Like about 10, 15, 20 years ago.
The biggest misunderstanding
the biggest
in hip-hop.
Misunderstanding
in hip-hop.
Like,
it might be in black history.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm a DJ. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And we sit here drinking.
They were stomping on the building.
We sit here drinking.
Because I always heard his side of the story. You got to tell your side, man.
Because
he told me, well, y'all both tell
me.
Ali.
Oh, we need more glasses. Yeah, well, pretty much, we just made the record to get on. Like, we didn't have no, you know what I mean? We made LALA just to get on. We had no, like...
And the original one, you did it over their beat.
Yeah. So that was your first song before...
That's my first song that ever took
with
off.
With Mobb Deep,
You did it on the New York.
They did a dubplate, basically.
Oh, so that
and
was...
they went clear.
It was a white label.
It was my beat.
Yeah, they went clear.
The listeners don't know.
No, because you know what...
Tell the whole story from the beginning.
I think when we went back and did it, we did the Sugar Hill version over. I don't think we did yours.
That's the original.
Ain't the original Sugar Hill?
No,
that's the original one. The one he just did.
I made Sugar Hill.
I made the beat, and it was a commercial for Biggie.
Yes,
we spoke about
and
that
then
earlier.
Heard it, he was like, "Oh, I want to make."
I forgot
song.
That.
Yes, that was on the.
Everybody always thought that was the dopest beat for
the
commercial.
Misunderstanding.
That was you for the commercial too.
Yeah.
You didn't tell how the whole. Because I want to know.
Well, basically, like,
I mean, most of the music on all the commercials, mostly, yeah.
Mm. Well, basically, to answer little Duvall, what happened was they had a record called New York, New York. We had not known if it was actually a diss record because we just know that it was funny to say New York, New York.
Yeah.
So we had did the record LALA. If you notice, none of us is saying anything bad about LA or anything.
Yeah.
And in fact, the only one who did say anything slightly remote, he said JFK on our way to LA was Prodigy. And if you look at the video, Prodigy took his verse off because he was a little nervous. So, so what happened was, and they came to New York, and I believe they shot the video. Some shit happened in the video, and then they changed the whole video to like it was like now kick down the buildings and now do that. But that's my side. That's what I said.
That is what happened though, because the song wasn't meant to be a diss song.
Right.
It was a song where it was like paying homage to New York, because you know, we hip hop arrived to us second.
And we corrupt said that we ain't believe
them. But why did they shoot up?
Why did they shoot up the spot?
This is the first time in from my point of view, I ever heard Biggie even like really speak on the drama. Like
I was shooting the video. That was my whole production crew and everything. I was shooting the video in Red Hook, Brooklyn, and we heard on the radio them saying, "Oh yeah, they over shooting the video. How y'all gonna let them come in?"
That was Biggie.
We heard about that.
That was the only time. Because to tell you the truth, I'll give you my side of any Biggie story. Biggie really wasn't with the drama. He didn't really want to be a part of that. Like he was a cool nigga. He was just a cool dude.
Yeah.
A very cool dude. So that's not what I was wondering, but that's fucking hip hop history right there. Let's make some noise.
I gotta tell one side story.
Okay.
When we were shooting the video, and then the shit went down in the video shoot, and everybody went back to LA, packed up, and that's when I shot the buildings to use in the video kicking down. So I had to stay another 2 days.
Oh my God.
So I'm in the hotel, and next, you know, I look at my phone, the light blink, and I got messages. I get the phone, yo, you better take your fucking ass back to LA. Yo, we gonna fucking get your ass. Oh shit, move my car. Give me the alias name. I made up some alias name and moved. All my shit to another room.
You by yourself?
The first time I was. Second time I'm in there, all the homies in the room now, the crew. And the lights start blinking again. I'm like, what the fuck? Yo, you better get all this shit. I'm looking like, God. I look at these niggas, they start laughing. That's them playing on the
shit.
How y'all play with it?
Every time like this.
That's crazy.
But you seem like, and both of you brothers, I feel like y'all gonna have a great relationship and continue and continue, because y'all seem like y'all people that's always in good spirits.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Because we're not, for me personally, right. I don't try to get engulfed in the industry shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I work within the industry, but I work in when I want to. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's the best thing you can do. Like, if I don't want to do something, I don't do it. If I want to do it, I do it.
That's pretty much how I work with me, too. I have to say I've been blessed to have had an opportunity to be in the front seat of hip hop.
Great way to put that.
And you know, in a long run, and most of what I do is behind the scenes.
Yep.
You know, I played the character Red in Friday and stuff. Oh, and most people, they'll see me be like, oh, that's Red. And they don't know
you killed
the
that
music
line.
I did. You they don't know line. The writing I do, any of that. But they know that because most of what I do is behind the scenes. Right. Like,
at one point, was you ever wanted to be an actor? Or it was always like,
no, not really. I used to love to just have fun. So I guess in a way, I just love creating and having fun. And shit more than anything, but I just love writing and some of that acting, having fun, just doing whatever, being creative.
So now, Grow House, let's tell these people what we obviously, you're growing weed in there, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah.
But tell the people, tell the people who else is in there? D-Ray Davis is in there, too? So tell the people, for people that don't know.
Martin Starr from Silicon Valley is in there. We got Malcolm McDowell, you know, in there. We got Raquel Lee. We got,
Zulai.
Yeah.
Zulai George Wallace.
Faison Love. Snoop Dogg, of course, we mentioned already.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of good people. A lot of good people.
This is independent.
We got Lynn Shea also.
It's independent.
Oh, definitely independent.
It's independent. Yeah, so break that down.
What's the business?
Why would you go independent? Because, you could probably go to these big guys.
You know what? You would think it's always easier to go to the big guys because we have made film. I mean, I'm batting 100%. Right. I've never made a film that has not made money.
Right.
You know? And so you can look at a lot of films that a lot of big-time Hollywood stars have made that have straight lost $100 million and shit. That have flopped, flopped 100 times.
Right.
But when they fall, a lot of times they fall up. Mm. They just go right into the next shit like it's nothing.
Right.
But us, we could have a film that just makes, maybe a 20% profit, and it's like, oh yeah, I don't know, So that's kind of to the you have to be 1,000 times better, 100 times better kind of mentality. I feel that we've always been told growing up. You know, you got to be better at what you do just to get recognized or just to get on. And I feel like that applies everywhere, even in the film industry.
And would you rather be independent, or
you know what? In some ways,
right?
Hell, motherfucking yeah,
right.
And in some ways, it's like, damn, this shit hard. I wish I had some motherfucker helping me.
Right. Yeah, like how's the distribution on the film when it's independent? How much harder is it to get it in theaters across the country?
It's like slim and none. Wow. Some distribution shit. I think that's the hardest part, right there. Which is the reason why so many films. You know, don't get the theatrical distribution.
Right.
And, they'll get Netflix and Amazon, Redbox. Right. Those things are real cool too. Not putting them down because I can't wait to get there too. We'll be there too.
Because Netflix is giving up that check.
That's like the equivalent of streaming for film.
Did people see it on too? You know what I mean? Right. And so you have to look at it and say, shit. You know, it's going to go down the chain either way. But when you can get opportunity to do a theatrical release.
I'm into this, right? You're looking at me like, this nigga into this.
Ain't nothing like that shit. When you can get a film in the theater, because that's a different experience when people have to go purchase a ticket.
It's an event, practically.
Where's black cinema? Like, back then, we had the Boys in the Hoods, and we had the Fridays, and it seemed like black cinema is like...
And that's what we're trying to bring back.
The Renaissance is coming.
And it's comedy, because, like what I try to tell a lot of people with this movie, what made Friday so funny? Because was a real story and it just had funny people in it. It wasn't like they were trying to, he wrote it to try to be funny.
Right.
It was just a real story and you put funny people in there and funny scenarios. And that's what this movie is. You know what I'm saying? Pretty much. It's a real story. And it represents the culture the right way. You know, it's something like Breaking, then between Breaking and the Hollywood Breaking movie, it, the people that really break didn't like it.
Yeah, it was horrible.
That's the same thing with good this. Point.
Like Breaking 1 and 2?
Yeah, you're like, man, that shit ain't real. It ain't like Beach Street.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? Because that was more like the culture. Well, that was like Hollywood shit.
Right.
So that's why I made sure I went to the Bay and did a screening. I was like, you gotta go to the Bay if you're doing the weed movie.
Yeah. Right.
And I wanted to get what they thought. And after the show, too, I ain't even tell you this, poo. After the show, the dude came to me and was funny. He's like, man, this shit was so funny because I was looking at my old lady who was laughing because everything, he was showing me everything his phone would happen in the movie. Happened to him while he was doing his grow house. So it's kind of like telling a real story. It's relatable and it speaks for a culture that don't make it look like it's some bullshit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And honestly, if you really wanted to open up a grow house, you watch this, you might
learn. Right.
It's the blueprint. For real.
Yeah. You should definitely
know perfect how to timing
grow.
In the country.
You should know how to grow when you need the movie.
Because
this shit ain't just as easy as some people think.
And you grow too? What's your man name that was with Montana? Let's big him up. Earlier?
Montana, yeah.
Pick him up. But do you grow too?
I have.
You have? Because you gave me some abracadabra shit.
Oh, those are some growers I work with. Those are the best.
Yeah.
That's the best grower in the world.
I rolled this up, smoked the blunt.
Seeds.
What you say?
No, that's the butt.
Abracadabra?
Abracadabra.
These niggas, it is magical.
That's the best shit in the world.
Yeah, that shit put me to sleep. I smoked a blunt of that by myself. I took a nap. I ain't taking a nap since 1998, nigga. Well, so what you like better, stand up or actually acting in a film?
I like both, but honestly, I got into stand up to get into acting. I mean, to get into movies, because I figured that's how you do it. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, I mean, Friday was the reason why I got in this shit. It's so coincidence that I'm doing the movie with him. So, but what happened was I saw Chris Tucker go from stand up and did the movie. So I was like, oh, that's how you do it. Do stand up.
I feel like Chris Tucker fucked up by not doing the next Friday. He should have did.
I never say that, man, because a lot of people was just like, oh, why didn't he do it? And
did you feel like he got Hollywood? This Drink Champs. We need the real story. He got Hollywood on you.
You know what?
His number changed.
I think Chris always had a plan just to do all kinds of shit. And I think it would be unfair to Chris to make it feel like you know, he didn't.
Right.
To make it feel like he didn't have ideas to do much more than that, because Smokey is not the character or the person he is in no way.
Right.
You know how some people
say there's
a base of that character in that person. That's really not who he is.
Was he afraid to get typecasted to that?
He was a great actor.
Yeah, he was a great actor.
He's a good dude, but
I thought he was smoking like a motherfucker. Word, I thought he was smoking. That let you know he killed the character.
But one thing for sure is, unlike Duvall, he was smoking real weed.
He came at you. That was another one.
He
must have been mad.
I was okay because it's the OG. Like, whatever he say.
He must have been mad as shit that you actually started smoking after.
Yeah, he was. I'm mad too because I'm like, damn, boy,
I could have
been. I'm like, dog, I could have really killed it for real.
Because
all the shit I've been learning since I've been smoking. But now, brother, like I say, man, the movie.
Is it a California movie? Is it taking place in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. And I don't like to toot the horn of the movie, but I wouldn't be promoting this movie this hard if I didn't think it was funny. You know, because I've done a lot of movies that I ain't promoting.
Right.
Because I know how garbage this is.
Right.
But this one here is, and plus you can't be talking too much shit.
Right.
If it ain't, they going to troll your ass on the internet.
That's funny you say that, because as a comedian, do you always want to be funny on camera, or does it come to a part where you like, let me get my acting on?
I think the best actors are comedians.
Yeah.
Because we have to do it all the time on. Look at Jamie Foxx.
I'm about to say that. As soon as you said that,
Jamie Foxx, I really thought
it was Ray Charles.
Me too. I think Robin Williams is one of the best actors ever.
Robin Williams, Tom Hanks. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Tom Hanks, a comedian?
Yeah, he did. What's that movie he did? Punchline?
Tom Hanks. He was in Bosom Buddies back in the day.
We gotta stop you there. Tom Hanks ain't no comedian.
No, he was a comedian. Yeah, he started as a
comedian.
He
acted in a
Saturday
Night Live. Yeah, he was a comedian. He acted in that movie. He did a movie about his being a comedian.
He's so versatile that you don't see him as that, but he has that element.
Did he do stand-up, though? I don't think he
did a movie about being a stand-up.
But he was a comedian. Like, that's the way he came in.
Yeah, so, I mean, because you have to act certain things because you're reenacting what you've seen as far as in life, so that makes a great comedian. Yeah. Right. It makes a great actor.
Right.
You know, so I guess they the best one.
Is stand-up hard when you unknown?
Stand-up is the hardest form of entertainment ever. Ain't nothing harder than this.
Get the hell out of
here. Only thing maybe is preaching.
Oh, shit.
Because you got to come up with something every week and bullshit. Shit.
You got to have new balls.
Yeah.
that's what I said about comedy altogether, like even in film. Doing comedy is more difficult because it's not like you're just telling a story. You're doing something to get a reaction, to get something
and they're expecting
from the audience. Mm. And if you ain't getting that, then it's like, oh, nigga, that was some bullshit. Yeah.
Mm. It's like a scary movie. Like, after a while, it's hard to scare people. Right. And the same thing with comedy. Like, after they done heard every joke, it's getting harder, especially now with people's attention span short, because it takes time to build stand-ups special. That's why you see somebody like Chris Rock do something every 5 years, because you got to live life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it takes time, but in this day and age, people ain't got time.
Right.
So you got to work within what it is, and it's transitioning into social media technology. It's funny as far as funny.
So same question to you, Pooh. What do you enjoy more, music or making movies?
You know what? You know what I enjoy more than anything, and I have to be honest because I can't say between one another. Mm. But I would say I enjoy hip hop, and I mean that. You know, and that's back to what I said earlier, being in the front seat of hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
As I've been involved in hip hop from music to film to video games to I've been involved in business that has
culture changed the culture.
Has had hip hop be a part of it, and I've been there and deservingly so. I think we should be in any form of entertainment there.
Because it's crazy. Because even before the movies, in my opinion, you were already a legend within the music culture of hip hop.
But you know he did Grand Theft Auto too now.
No, I didn't know that.
Like, this man has been doing this shit, man.
The soundtrack?
I write the stories.
Come on now.
And
yo, that's insane.
Do you
understand who you write the whip, man?
He's a legend in all different facets.
Now, this is why I be hating. Like, I've been telling him.
He's humble.
Yeah, I be like, dog, you can't be humble in 2017. That's why I say, nigga, if you ain't gonna be him, I'm gonna hype you up.
I gotta be his spokesperson.
He's his publicist.
Yeah, his publicist.
This is what you gotta do. Pooh gotta be like, you know, everything is cool. And then you gotta come out and say, translation! We running this shit, bitch!
The nigga's the pulse of this shit.
That's crazy.
A lot of the culture that comes from it.
We gotta go back before the going back more in the music part of it.
Okay.
Going back to the early West Coast stuff.
Mm.
King T was messing with.
Mm. LL Cool J.
LL Cool J, America's Most Wanted, Ice Cube. Lynch Mob, all that. NWA Days too?
Oh, yeah. I started out back when Dre showed me how to work a drum machine, and me and Dre started out.
Dr. Dre taught you how to. You see how he said that so humble? Now you gotta say it.
Because it's normal, you gotta say
it,
man.
You see how he said it humble? Now you gotta say it in a nigga way.
Yeah, okay. Dre, you gotta be it all, nigga. I've been living with Dre and all that, put beats together. Y'all just doing this shit, man. Y'all been doing this shit. Fuck you, man. Nigga, step up. You ain't just shit compared to what I've done.
Translation.
Hell, you talking about? Been rich. Fuck you, man. Yeah. You can't make as many platinum hits as about me. All right, go ahead. That's good.
Yeah,
but nah, for real, though, man. This man's a legend.
No, he is. He truly
sculpted
is.
The culture where people don't even realize it. You know what I'm saying? So I just hate to see, like, I don't want to even be going and people not know it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
Like,
it's
at the end of the day, people don't be knowing. So it takes people like us to let people know.
Right. And just so you know, this show is all about giving our legends their flowers when they can smell them and giving them their weed when they can inhale them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't be,
oh,
so,
man, that's
so many people want to praise you after you're gone, and I just feel like it's stupid. Why don't we praise our legends now? Yeah. Hip hop, we got to keep our people alive.
I praise this nigga. I do it all the time.
And I humbly say that Dre definitely taught me how to work a drum machine.
Yeah.
Gave me the first drum machine to borrow and use. Mm. And, you know, that's the kind of guy Dre is, you know.
Man, being around these niggas like him, even Snoop, though.
Even
like,
Snoop, because y'all hung out with Snoop yesterday, right?
Snoop is one of the most, like, honestly, he's the biggest name in hip hop.
Everybody knows him. He's an icon.
Nobody knows him beyond hip hop. But for him to be that big, that popular, and just to be so regular, it's so like it makes me realize you ain't gotta be a big asshole.
Yeah, you ain't got.
If you really didn't know that was Snoop, you'll forget who he is because he's so cool.
But you know what I know about that?
The nigga's so real.
Most big stars that smoke weed. Are the coolest shits. But if they stars and they don't smoke weed, they take life too fucking serious.
I don't know. Most
everybody got to get high. I don't give a fuck.
From what I've noticed, the people that really got it are real humble. It's the one that ain't got it.
It's like real gangsters. Don't even talk that shit.
Like they don't be tripping off the shit. You know what I'm saying? The ones that's really doing it, they ain't the assholes. It's the one that's trying to get that. That's who the assholes is.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're back to Drink Champs Radio with rapper N.O.R.E. and DJ EFN.
Now, what's your favorite era in hip-hop?
90s? Come on, I grew up right in the 90s. I grew up on you. I grew up definitely on them. Honestly, I was a West Coast nigga just off of all they shit. I hated New York.
And my mom was a West Coast nigga at one point, too.
I was a West Coast nigga.
Oh, my man.
I'm sorry. No East Coast, West Coast.
It sucks right here.
I'm telling my whole story of why I got on the New York shit. When I heard Life's a Bitch and You Die with AZ, and I started hearing that. Then it went from everybody. I used to fuck with everybody in Queens. That's how I got on Capone and Noriega and all that. And I got on DJ Clue. DJ Clue got me on. So that's how all my circle. So I knew everything in that little clique. I was a Queens motherfucker. Every rapper's in Queens. I knew who they was.
So is DJ Pooh and Lil Duval listening to the Migos?
Yeah, I am.
But I can't say I listen to everything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right now. Right.
I kind of look
at I'm not talking about Migos specifically. I'm talking about everything in general now. But I do keep up on what's going on.
When I say Migos, I mean them, but I mean like this new generation. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I like music.
Good music, though.
Even good music, but the beat, like sometimes it's just like when you hear something new, I always like new, like when it comes to music. So when I hear some, it's like refreshing, even if I don't like, because I've learned a lot of times we just stuck in our ways the older we get.
You know what I'm saying?
Because the same way we think this ain't but there was some bullshit when we came up.
That's definitely a lot of bullshit.
There was a lot of bullshit in the 90s, too.
But the flip is saying because it's new and it's young, it's automatically you should be into it. I don't think that either. You know what I'm saying? There's good shit and there's bad shit.
You shouldn't relate to a lot of that shit because we old. We shouldn't relate to it.
Like, I'm not going to lie. It be certain times I want to hear Drake. I feel soft.
I want to feel soft.
Homie makes great music, man. Hands down. Come on.
He makes great music. I be in that mood. What I mean is, like, sometimes I don't want to hear no hardcore shit. I don't want to hear about niggas talking about selling drugs that they never sold. Right now, sometimes I just want
to. I'm in the mood where I want to.
I want to hear some Drake. I'm going to be honest. I throw on some hardcore shit and I listen to some soft shit. I like him. I like him singing.
I just like hip hop as a whole, so no matter where it go, it's gonna go somewhere. I think it's getting more to, like, we keep saying this mumble, but James Brown screamed through all his songs.
I never heard that compared. That's actually a good analogy.
So it's not really. It's just
he the father of hip hop.
Exactly.
The godfather.
Godfather.
arguably.
Some of your analogies suck, but that I like.
No, that's a real good one. That's a good, I never thought of it that way.
James Brown.
You just shut me down the way I think about mumble rap.
You know what I'm saying? So it's really just like we just don't want to, because we like, they ain't saying nothing, but like, it's all comes back to jazz and all that. It goes to beats, you don't listen to music. Like,
who knows what?
But all the stuff that James Brown did outside of all that screaming him up, he danced, he did so much more.
Jazz.
So much more showmanship.
Yeah.
But it's jazz that has no lyrics or nothing, but we still, it's just the beat and the vibe of it. So sometimes you take things that vibe or a wave, like when you're in that wave of it, you feel it. Just like when we, you know what you say like now? Like,
you heard what he said though? He said, there's jazz with no lyrics. I had to think about that.
That is true.
There's a lot of jazz
that
don't have
jazz, but the shit be
like,
such a vibe.
Skidat,
but it's a vibe. It's like a wave. It's like when you in that wave.
Yeah, yeah. He slides.
You know,
shit
your
shit kids,
you know, certain shit your mom never got. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You're like, y'all listen to all this dumbass rap. They ain't talking about nothing. Mm. Now that's what we say on that.
No, for sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
When it comes to young hip hop.
100%.
So we got to look at it like that. We just forget because you get older. You're like, that ain't hip hop.
You don't want to become that old hater.
That's what, you know what the crazy thing was? I started to notice when I didn't like the new music, that was the time of my life when I wasn't going to clubs. Because, like, just like how you said, at one point, I've been going to Atlanta so long. At one point, I used to go to Atlanta and say, yo, is Brooklyn in the house? And everybody be like, ah! And I'm like, oh, these niggas ain't from Brooklyn. But when the music that I didn't like, when I didn't go to that town, mm-hmm. once I went to that town, it's like, you gotta hear. The first time you hear Trick Daddy, if you in Miami, you get it. The first
that
time,
is Miami. Yeah, that is the pulse of Miami.
Like, no, so when you, so when you hear the Migos and you in motherfucking what's that Players Club out in Atlanta, or you in motherfucking one of them good clubs, you will appreciate it. So sometimes when you're older,
you
ain't moving, you ain't hanging out with the old with the young joints, you don't know what you're doing. Yeah,
I used to hate going to the club. I see everybody singing the song and I don't know.
I hated that.
I'd be like, oh shit, what the fuck? I am losing it.
That is a sign you're old.
What's going on?
You better know one word.
I'll play it off in there, but in my mind, I'm thinking.
Bad and Bougie. You better know that at least.
No, at least one word in the song.
That's one word. That's how you keep your youth.
For real. I ain't trying to even keep my youth. I just like music. And I just understand it. Like, and plus, I'm like in the bridge between old school and the young school. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I'm at. And I'm like that bridge in between.
He didn't say new school. He said young school.
Yeah, I mean, whatever they call them niggas. Because I mean, them niggas, the new niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not them niggas. I'm not y'all niggas. I'm in between. I'm in both sides. I'm fucking staying both sides.
Now, what's your favorite era of music?
I have to say 90s.
92. Yeah.
I don't think y'all realize how golden it was at that time. Like, now when you, like, y'all
was
really the
individualism.
Like, you mean uniqueness.
Yes.
Nobody wanted to sound like the next person. You couldn't do it.
And I think I was one of the first generation to grow up on it because, like, I was absorbing all it. Just to think the person from Jackson, like, this was before the internet or nothing. So you had to really find music back then. You
know what I'm saying? Digging the crates. Huh?
Yeah, you had to really find. You might have one radio station, and the fact that I knew every.
You'd be happy as hell.
I knew every song, every album that came out on them, or DJ Quick, and all that from all over there. That says a lot. Right. Like, we had a lot. We had to absorb a lot.
Right.
And it made us who we was.
Right.
Like, it made us a lot bad, too. Like, it did a lot. Y'all fucked our minds up, too.
But you know what I noticed about the 90s music?
We thought y'all was doing that shit.
We really... It was about making a whole body of work.
Yeah.
Like, the only difference right now is... Most of these guys, they get a single. It's single driven. You know what I'm saying?
But that's because they're high minds working their attention.
And these young kids are getting too high out here. Percocet, Percocet, they gotta
that's
stop.
That's changing also.
Yeah. They gotta stop. They are dope fiends.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what the fuck y'all are taking? That is a form of heroin.
Yeah.
We gotta teach our babies better than this. Our generation failed them. Because it's our fault. Like, it's all my generation.
It's our fault. It's like, our anything you mad at them about, it's our fault.
No, it is.
We dropped the ball.
Because we're too busy having a good fucking time.
Yeah.
That's what I think. We stopped being OGs.
We stopped being OGs.
Yeah.
We stopped being
But that comes from hip hop, because hip hop make you forget how old you is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't realize. Because think about that. When my mama was like that or something, I never thought that she'd be out here thotting and in the club still. But that these mamas.
Where did we go?
Everybody. I know what he's saying.
When you want to be when you want 40 to be the new 30, when 40 can't just be 40.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you're not proud to be age. That's the problem then now.
But you don't realize. The idea is that, like, age comes with a certain amount of respect, a certain amount of stripes, because everybody ain't gonna make it.
Mm. Yeah,
very true.
Because where you at, where I'm at, where you at, even and nothing is guaranteed.
For real. Right. Because at the end of the day, you think about the hip hop.
So put stripes on that and put a respect on that.
You have to.
Right.
You have to. You have to put them stripes, because I mean, at the end of the day, it is hard to get here.
Yes.
Especially when you come from where all the environment we all come from.
And we,
I never even thought about being this age when you young.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Don't think about
it. My goal was 21. I'm 39. I'll be 40 this year. My goal was to hit 21. And when I 18, I think I was going to celebrate. But 21, I was like, yo, that's it. That's all I want. I just wanted to be old enough to drink.
Yeah.
That's it. I never even thought about
you never thought about like one thing you thought about like I get saved when I get old. I good so I can go to heaven. That's what I thought about. I was like, I get saved, but I'm gonna have a good time right now. But hip hop did that because hip hop is about being cool.
Right.
So as you're growing, you still cool. You don't realize you done cooled your way to 50.
That's dope. That's dope.
50 years
and
old.
Shit, man. You know, they do it in other generations, and that's one of the reasons, like I said, it earlier.
Hip-hop has grown up, though.
Yeah, hip-hop has grown.
And so we're not going to be our parents at 50, at 40. We're going to be us at 40.
But 50. We are the cool age.
But we do have to be... 40 and 50.
Yeah, we gotta act because the fact that it's promoting being drug addicts is terrible. Like I mean, weed is that's great. That's a herb, but these guys are actually promoting drinking
promethazine.
Yeah, and being heroin. Codeine.
That's
man,
fucking heroin. Like that shit is
our fault.
Yeah, it's our fault though. Yeah,
I'm not smoking this shit.
you smoke adjacent, baby. God damn it. And what the fuck did you give me, DJ Pooh? Please tell the people.
That's
describe.
An Abracadabra cigar.
Abra?
So that sounds scary.
Cigar was almost like a whole ounce rolled into one cigar.
It sounds like you smoking and
like
you disappear.
$1,000 cigar. I'm very rich. That's why I had to get my robe. I was like, let me get my robe for like a mafia.
That's like an ounce. It's compressed in. Compressed in. It's like an ounce.
It's just compressed all into one, you know.
What's your favorite record you ever produced?
My favorite record I ever produced. I don't know. I'd probably say a record I did called No Idea. That features Cam, West Coast Cam, and then everybody else that was on the song Computer Love. Roger Troutman, Charlie Murdock, and Charlie Wilson. And it was on my album, Bad News Travels Fast. It was my favorite record I ever made in the world. And you never fucking heard it, so fuck off.
Yeah. I'm going to search that right now.
Yeah, what year did that come out? What year was that?
I'm going to Google it now.
Before Cam came out with Peace Dream?
I was in jail.
Or after?
So I got an excuse.
No, it was after that.
Right after.
Yeah, it was after that,
I'm tripping. I just put my finger.
And you could do edibles and all that.
I do it all now, man.
How long you been smoking for?
I'm amazed. I can't even believe that story.
Something fishy about this story.
It's real.
It's
real.
Crazy to me.
Everybody think it's publicity.
So what made you start smoking then?
I don't know. I always liked the way it smelled.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I just was one of them niggas, because everybody in my hood did. I'm like, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When everybody had a gold grill, I didn't get it because I didn't want to be like these niggas. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Do it on your own time.
Yeah, I want to do it on my own time. And then on top of that, it's almost like it was I was supposed to do it because it's almost, they always embraced me, that culture. Mm-hmm. The marijuana culture. They thought I smoked weed. Mm. I never smoked weed.
He was fucking fooling us. I reached out to him on MySpace because I thought he smoked weed.
MySpace is still fucking me.
I never told nobody. I never said if I did or didn't because I didn't want to push them people away. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like,
fooled us all.
He just held the floor
you think what you want with that.
He's like, celebrating 420 for no reason.
It's almost time, y'all.
But then after a while, I was like, man. You know what? Because after that movie, I was like, dog, I'm not supposed to be smoking weed, man. Right. Everything, I did another weed move with Devin the Dude. You know, shout out Devin.
That's a hell of a smoker right there.
And Devin Dude, the coolest, man. Motherfucker ever, man.
Yeah.
Mm. He lives the perfect life. Like, he's the Willie Nelson of hip hop.
Shout out to Odd Squad.
Wow.
That motherfucker's cool as fuck.
So tell the kid that, you know, it's probably from Jacksonville, or they're from Atlanta, or they're from, you know, Compton, or they're from. How does a person start his comedic career? If there's somebody right now that is funny, he don't know how to structure his funniness to make it a business.
It's so a different game right now. I think it's a new genre. Like, before, the way we had to do it, you had to do stand up to get in the movie. Now you don't really have to do that. Now you can go get on the internet,
social YouTube, media, Instagram stuff,
and make them skits and build up a buzz. Because I've seen a couple dudes that they might not be stand up funny, but I'd be like, man, I'm going to be good in the movie.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he'd be funny.
But sometimes you run across them dudes and it ain't.
They're not as funny.
And not, yeah, see, another thing, see, the thing about that internet, though, you can fool people, too.
You can edit. People don't know that they edit. Them Instagrams,
but I can read through motherfuckers, too, though.
You got to be able to be a good reader.
Yeah, I can read, because believe it or not, I was one of the first to start doing all that shit on the internet. You can Google that.
Right, okay.
Like, I ain't going to lie about it, because I don't like to be wrong.
Right.
But you can Google that, you'll see I was one of the motherfuckers that do skits.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? So I understand what they're doing, because I kind of created the mold of it, the blueprint. So I can read through, like, nah, this nigga kind of funny. This nigga naturally funny. He might not know how to do stand up, but he naturally funny, and I know how to get what I can out of him to produce what he did.
Right.
Kind of like what he did with me. Like, that's really all I, even from day one, all I want to do is these type of movies.
Weed type of movies.
Cool movies. Yeah. And then over time, they start doing other shit, and that shit fell off, and I was just out here doing rap videos.
But that's what I was asking you earlier. Like, are you ever?
That's what made me so good at rap videos. It comes from these type shit.
Are you gonna go to a point in your career you think that you gonna the acting is gonna mean more than being funny, like a Jamie Foxx?
I think it's gonna be I know what you're saying. It's, for me, it's all a part of expression. Like, I like to entertain people. I like to get my point across. Sometimes I might make a song. Sometimes I might make a joke. Sometimes I might do a skit. Sometimes I might sing.
All right.
I might perform. You know what I'm saying? I just like to get my shit off.
Right.
And sometimes comedy is the easy way to get it off. And if I can do it in a story, in a real movie. I mean, not a real movie, but a movie that's not about comedy, I do. Because
that's what I'm asking you. That's my point. Is, like, will you try that?
Hell yeah.
Oh, okay.
I try it with him too, because I know I can trust that he can guide me in the right way.
Right. Smart.
That's the smartest thing too. That's what make like people like Dre and Snoop or Timbaland and who he with or Missy. Because you need somebody that can coach you. Like, that's what wins games. Because I know he was a good coach.
All right.
Man,
I definitely want to work with you, DJ Pooh, because I'm definitely a fan of everything you do and, like, everything you did. And he's like the coolest nigga in the world, though. You see, he sit back, calm, you are what if marijuana was a person. That's who you are. Like if marijuana came alive, it's DJ Pooh. If marijuana can talk back to you and shit, that's exactly who DJ Pooh is. Let's make some noise for that, goddamn it. What time we at? 45. So yeah, all right,
we got 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's only. But I had y'all kidnapped. Look, let me just describe how this just happened. I landed, got in front of the hotel. I said, "Oh shit, there's a little bar right there." I walked over to give him a five. And it's motherfucking DJ Pooh right there in front of the hotel. And I'm like, yo, I need y'all on the podcast today. And they did it. This is real nigga shit. We want the fans to know that. We locked in. So we want the fans to go out there.
Right?
This is hip-hop. This is how hip-hop. Yep. We make it up on the spot.
It's not hip-hop when it's like, well, you know what? Holler at my manager and them today. You know what I'm saying? As if we always fucking run into each other.
We did it, right? And we don't like getting people on publicity runs, like specifically.
That's how I do shit. On Handshake. Even with him, when he talked to me, we talked to each other before we go through all that shit there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Very good.
That's how, because that's how, if I met you like that, then that's how I'm going to keep it like
that. That's right.
Now, if I would have met him through the other people, then it would have been like that. But I met him like this.
Right.
He came to me first.
Right.
So if I got any problem or anything, I'm going to go to him.
Right.
I'm going to say, we ain't got to talk to them. We can talk to him. Mm-hmm. I can talk to him, and it's a
now, that's how business should always be conducted. If y'all respect each other, y'all like each other.
And then let the other people cross the T's and dot the I's.
Yeah.
But don't let them dictate how we can get down and what we do.
Shit really be simple, bro.
Relationship.
Shit really be simple. People just
How did you meet Charlamagne?
Me and Charlamagne you had on MySpace too.
Yo,
Jesus Christ, man. You killing it on MySpace.
I've been popping on this.
Let me find out. You still got your profile on MySpace.
I do. I go there for Throwback Thursday. Get my Throwback Thursday mix from over there. Let me try
Duvall, when you go back to town, probably be like, where the fuck you been?
Yeah, where you been, nigga? Ever since you left, this shit done fell off. But no, like, no, but
I got to ask, you ain't meet your girl on MySpace, too.
No, I got to ask. I met on Instagram.
This nigga's a social media crazy.
Nigga, I've been on this shit. Y'all new to this shit. I've been through all this shit. Mm. It's crazy to see how this social media grew to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just to see what it is. Because I always knew, like, nigga, this was what's going on. That's why I jumped on it so early.
Look, I'm married, right? So I don't be seeing, but I seen a dude the other day. He go to a chick and say, he didn't even ask for her number. He said, what's your Instagram? I said, oh, shit. That's how they bagging business.
Yeah. But it's actually smaller, though.
Nah, break it down.
Like, think about it. You can actually go in the time and see what you're dealing with. In the club, you don't really. When the last time you talked to somebody in the club?
Married.
People don't. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Well, I understand. He tried to slip me up.
Did you hear the man?
Disclaimer.
You gotta relax, though.
Cut that out.
Oh, man. But the point, you know, you gotta be dealing with old niggas. Right? Hey, they got high school. Hey, it's over. Move on. No, but I'm just saying, like, at the end of the day, I just think it's, like, easier to meet people online.
Yeah.
Because people...
That do make sense. That's a tool that we didn't have.
But we talk to each other. You don't got to worry about it.
You can talk to people after.
That's true.
I went in a restaurant the other day.
Uh-huh.
Nobody was doing... Everybody was like this. The whole fucking restaurant. I walked in. I was like, "Damn!"
Did you get on your phone too?
But damn, I took a picture of it.
Yeah.
I said, look at all these dumb motherfuckers. They don't even communicate no more. You go to a restaurant, y'all both on the phone.
That's what technology going though. I mean, we're not pretty much gonna be need to talk no more.
Mm.
But that's what they said on one of the memes was funny. They had all the emojis talking about we was going back to like hieroglyphics.
We really are. We don't really need.
We're losing some people skills there, you know?
Actually, I seen some technology, not to go to where I, to this whole nother deep shit when I'm high. I seen something on this show where it can read your body language, it can read your thing, certain muscles in your body, and it'll make this thing do it on the screen. Like it opened up, like you can think, I want to open up that flower, it'll open up.
This is some hot nigga shit right here.
Nah, for real.
I'm saying,
you don't even have to talk to somebody.
They do got the shit that's connected to the brain.
Yeah.
That people are using with when they losing
limbs. Honestly, if you think about it, you don't talk to nobody now because you can get full feelings through text.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you ain't talk damn time, but y'all done been communicating through text. You feel like, damn, I know this motherfucker.
Mm.
So it's kind of the same thing. You see where I'm going there? Mm. I'm high, but I know what I'm talking about now.
It's definitely some hot nigga shit, though. That's why he the only nigga that
I know.
Catching contact. Yeah. As far as I go.
Is 420 Thursday.
So what's next? What's next for DJ Pooh? What's next? Is it
Man, I never know, man. I always keep a few, a few in the chamber.
Mm-hmm. So
you load it up and then we just kind of let
and,
it happen.
And you were part of all Fridays, right? All of the Fridays.
You know what? I get credit on next Friday and Friday after next. Yeah.
Oh, you get
but
credit.
I didn't have anything to do with the writing on them. I just
because I see it still says characters based on. So
because if you write something, then you always kind of are.
And when's the last time you and Cube worked together?
Me and Q haven't worked together in a while, but we're working on Last Friday.
Did we just let the hat out the bag?
Now, Q kind of put it out there.
Oh, yeah, he did our podcast.
I think he mentioned it on our podcast. Yeah.
But let's just still act like we're breaking news.
No, I don't think Q said nothing about that.
Last Friday. Now, it's Chris Tucker.
You know what? I don't know. I think it's going to boil down to once we have a script.
Y'all could definitely holler at me. Y'all ain't got to pay me nothing. I just want to be a part of the movie. Right? Yeah. I might pay for my own flight and hotel.
Smokey got to be the granddaddy then by that time.
Nah, Smokey got to come back.
He would be granddaddy.
Nah.
I'm trying to get the part.
And you know what the crazy shit is? Friday is really one day. So he don't gotta come back and be old. He just come back. He got in shape. He went to the gym.
That's
he
the
looking
best
young.
Part about it and the hardest part about it.
Man, the nigga old, man.
He old, right? Because what? What was it? Rancho Cucamonga?
Yeah.
I never knew that was a real place.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't need to tell her to do a show out there.
I thought y'all made that shit up. Nah. And then, I got booked in Rancho Cucamonga. I was like, what?
This shit is real.
Somebody's playing with me. For real. So, man, listen, man, both of you brothers, man, we thank y'all for your time. Thank y'all for
it's
anything y'all want to tell y'all fans, y'all peoples, you know, our fans, you know what I mean? You just, you know, talk.
So, where to catch the film at? Yeah. Like, when, what?
It's in theaters everywhere. If you want to find out which theater in your city, go to Fandango.com. You see it. I mean, it's a funny movie.
Wait, but that's very interesting. I was thinking y'all was going straight to DVD. You saying this is in theaters?
Yeah.
And it's independent.
Yeah.
You got to break that down for the people that's listening. Tell them about
it. You just broke it down.
Man, we're going to the theaters.
It's like, how far you want to break it down? As you make a phone call, you time this number.
No, but listen, you got to realize when people hear independent, they think it is just you.
Right.
Like, there's nobody else. So, like,
well, saying, that's the hard shit. Yeah.
That's the hard part about it. The hardest part is to get theatrical distribution.
That's where the money is,
correct? Yeah, we're working with a company, Rocky Mountain High, along with Hollyweed Films.
Oh, my God.
Hollyweed
Films.
Yeah, yes.
You gotta love it.
And we're pushing it forward, man. And we
this movie's
we want
more
people
culture.
To not frown upon weed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crack.
Right.
Don't frown upon it because you're going to be used to it in a couple years. Like, the West Coast is pretty much like 10 years, especially Cali. I think it's like 8 to 10 years ahead of the East Coast.
No, of course.
You know what I'm
been
saying?
To Amsterdam before?
Yeah. I've been there.
Cali feels like
But Cali just got the best weed.
The best weed.
Ain't no good weed outside the country to me.
Right. Amsterdam is good.
Jamaica got some good weed.
You got to go to Tivoli Gardens to get a good weed in Jamaica.
Nah,
you got to go to the hood.
Orange Hill.
Orange Hill. I ain't never been there.
I've been to
Mountain View and Sea View. I'm on point, sis.
Yeah.
Mountain View and Sea View. Every time I say Jamaica, my little accent come out. I be fake Jamaican.
Jamaican,
it's not illegal there, though, in Jamaica.
No, it's good.
Because I know before.
No, it cleared. It cleared.
No, but before, as soon as you get off the plane, still it was.
Oh, no, yeah, they would. Yeah,
at the end of the day, it's inevitable. Always, right? But that was the bad.
They had like a sack you put your hand in and you just pull out.
I did that before too, and I got back to my room, opened it up, and some ants and shit was crawling around. I was like, wow, who the fuck would smoke this?
But at the end of the day, man, weed is good because it's no what, like, liquor done killed more people than weed.
Straight up.
You know what I'm saying?
Liquor is definitely more dangerous.
This is way more dangerous than weed. So, why not have, and it's proven that it's brought crime rate down in Denver.
That's real.
So, I mean,
that's real. You know, I ain't been in Denver since it's been legal again.
For real?
I've been in Denver when it was illegal.
Yeah,
I ain't get booked yet. You niggas in Denver, book me, man. And you know what's funny? You know what's always so
Vegas
funny?
Too now,
when the
man.
Fans
Vegas
just hit you and say.
Yeah, Vegas now, too.
I've been to Vegas. You would go to jail
for a seed in Vegas.
For real?
Yeah.
And Florida made it medical and decriminalized it, too.
Yeah,
but Vegas got ass, though. Remember how they used to have the ass for the strip clubs? And they got ass for weed.
I was in Vegas and witnessed Too Short getting booked for something like this. I was standing next to him, and he's like, police rolled up on him, and he had something like this in his hand.
And they locked him up for that?
And they took him to jail.
Mm. You know, I seen with Ice Cube the other day, Stanley.
Oh, man.
I told him I'm going to keep off the grass.
Brother Ryan.
Yo, man, I just want y'all to know Friday, that was really, really, really a classic movie. That was something, I'm going to tell you, music introduced us to what the West Coast was, right? We got to know that. And then we had Boys in the Hood and Colors and all this. But we needed to understand that it was California and, you know, the West Coast was just was regular niggas just like us. Yeah, and yeah. Friday identified with every person in the world. Yeah. I've never seen a movie that's more like
relatable. I think that's why people, you know, really did take to it, man. Because everybody know, like, the crackhead. Everybody
knows
somebody
D-ball.
Always borrowing shit.
And what
everybody
was your character?
Somebody,
what
like,
your
the mean neighbor don't walk on my grass.
You said, it's going to be both of ours. Yeah. The bike. You know that nigga. You know him.
Yeah.
It's going to my father tripping.
Non-confrontational all the way.
My father tripping. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We got to take a shot. We ain't take a shot with DJ Pooh. What are we doing? Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on. You got to take a shot of Patron.
I don't give a fuck.
Let's do it. I'm going to be honest. I don't think I'm going to take a shot. But I'm going to salute.
What the fuck are you talking about that?
I'm lying. I'm sorry. Oh, you got a clean cup for me? Oh, you hit that cup and then I hit another. I hit it right now.
No, let's play your cups, buddy. Play your cups right here.
Oh, shit. This shit breaking again.
That shit be breaking like a motherfucker.
I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, but what if that clip thing?
Let me tell you what I'm gonna do.
You don't fit in there.
You gotta get it. You don't have to fit far.
You know, it don't?
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. This shit going to be a blunt.
You drinking
in a second. No, oh, yeah, he don't drink.
I don't drink.
Mm.
But you can easily break that shit.
Now, how is that? Because everybody had wild years in their life. Like, you know, when you was out of control. You was out of control sober?
Yeah. If I wasn't really bad, but I was just hustling.
Mm.
You know, I wasn't the shooter.
Mm.
I was doing the other
Salute. Guy. DJ motherfucking Pooh.
No, there's your shot right there, buddy.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, man.
They done caught me. My bad. Salute, my brother. Listen, man, give y'all legends the flowers where they can smell them and then inhale them. And this Patron is going to the dome.
Ah. To kill you.
You know why Patron...
Oh, it's dangerous. Makes me want to pop and lock and shit.
I heard a doorbell just now.
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you why Patron is dangerous.
What?
You can sober up. The next day, it stays in
your saliva, in your fucking.
Yeah, you burn.
Mexicans hate that shit. They said they wouldn't get that shit to their dog.
You
know, Patron's not. Your Don Julio's the better.
By the way,
that's what that motherfucker told me.
By the way, we just took we taking a sip of the De Leon. The De Leon is the best.
The best.
Oh, yeah, the best
tequila in the world, by the way. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, that Zach agrees.
Motherfucker ain't been open.
Yeah. Come on, relax, Duval. Come on, my man. We family.
Okay, hi. Now, joking.
Now, what's your next show that you're doing? Because I know you was part of Guy Cord and all that. And people
doing that hip-hop squares.
Oh, hip-hop square. You're actual...
yeah, they always show me love on that. Okay. I guess I'm like one of them. One of them residents in the hip hop square.
Mm.
But I mean, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to.
That's Cubes, right. Cubes, right?
Yeah, hip hop squares is dope.
Mm.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to see it actually.
I haven't seen it either.
And I'm a little disappointed in myself because I've seen every episode of Love and Hip Hop, and that should come on right after that.
Cube stepped into that and made that motherfucker fly.
Mm. Yeah.
Not to mention he.
Because we did it before that.
Not to mention
Word and Cube wasn't involved.
It wasn't.
Yeah, I had heard of.
Like you could see.
It wasn't Peter Rosenberg.
Yeah.
You could see Cube's handprint on that.
Right.
And then when you look at it, Cube doing some big shit like Big Three.
The Big Three.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And shit
that's
like
amazing.
That. Like he's stepping up on some way other shit.
This is why hip hop is dope. You know what I'm saying? This is why hip hop is dope. You got people like. That transition from
fuck the police
to
Big Three.
Straight out of Compton, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Basketball League, and all that.
How did you like that movie, Straight Out of Compton?
I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it. I thought it was incredible, man. I understand. You know, I was there.
That's what I'm about to say. That's why. Your opinion is different from all this.
It was some of everybody's story.
Right.
You know, into a movie.
Because you understand the movie process more than
that. That didn't, this wasn't in there, and this didn't.
Right.
It's like you can't put everything in a movie.
Right.
You just can't.
And you got to take it from people's point of view, because we always think, like, because everybody got a different story on something.
Yes, you do.
Like you might tell your story, and you might tell your story.
That's exactly what it is.
And of course, ain't nobody going to tell you.
And at the end of the day,
whoop my ass. He ain't going to put that in.
At the end of the day, Gary Gray taking all these stories and making a brilliant film was exactly what happened.
Yeah, because I heard that Gary Gray actually went and interviewed people for all the people, and I heard that he actually going to turn this into a documentary, like of the actual real footage. Dope, yeah. I heard.
What story would you want to hear about? Like, if you can hear your own hip hop story, your own story.
My own.
What would you want?
My choice. Yeah. I would like to do a movie on Clarence 13X. He was the leader of the 5% Nation of Islam. His story to me is like an Alpo story without the drugs, but he was on drugs. He wasn't selling the drugs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he changed the culture. So I'm actually going to try to do that right now.
That sounds kind of like what they're going through now, because these kids on drugs.
No. Here's the problem. When we grew up, we were God bodies. We were 5%. So you had a certain type of righteousness that you had to have about you in that era. Right now, we don't have that. We got gang culture. Gang culture is controlling even the East Coast. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So where's the balance? Level spelled backwards is level. You got to balance it. Right. So where's the balance? So I want to make a movie about what I saw. Because when I saw growing up, The OGs made me go to school. Mm-hmm. Them niggas would be like, "Yo, what are you doing? You cutting school? Right. Get the fuck out of here." Them niggas would put me in a car and take me to school. Yeah. Right now, the niggas getting high with them niggas.
Right. Yeah.
Niggas cutting school. Come here, shorty.
Back in the day,
come
get high with
me. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I was scared of them niggas on me. Yeah, it helped me. Yeah, but what I'm saying is it was organization. Like, we actually, like, a village, it takes a village, what they say. Like, I actually felt that growing up. Like, I know personally I didn't do that for a lot of the young niggas. I was like, fuck it, what are you doing? All right. I was famous.
But I was famous,
and I didn't want to seem like I'm the guy that was like empowering you because I'm famous. You know what I'm saying? So it was different for me. But I personally definitely dropped the ball.
Yeah. We all did.
Everybody, the whole generation dropped the ball.
Yeah. That's part of growing up. And so us dropping the ball comes from somewhere, from the generation before us. In a way, there's just a constant,
it's like a domino effect.
Yeah, and it's not like we didn't have help with hands in that.
Right.
Other hands in that too.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're back to Drink Champs Radio with rapper N.O.R.E. and DJ EFN.
Now, what was your relationship with Tupac?
Tupac was always just a friend. Just always somebody that I knew in the industry and just a real cool cat.
Back Digital Underground days as well? Going back that far?
Yeah, and I worked with Pop Produce Records. Tupac on All Eyes on Me and...
What you think about that movie?
You know that was my next question, right?
The movie is going to be super good.
Did you see what?
I saw some of the movie. What I saw was dope.
Did you see
what the Outlaws? People hate on it, but L.T. Hutton.
As a movie or as facts? So you're
what I saw as a movie, I think is going to be dope. I can't say, factually, give you all that.
Just
I've seen it in a whole wall
good
together.
Film.
But from what I saw, wow. I can't wait. June 16th.
I ain't never missed
up. So up there with the Straight Outta Compton?
You know what? I ain't going to predict nothing, but I'm going to say it's not, I've seen people hate on it. They haven't even seen it.
You see the Outlaws?
I saw part of it, and ain't no way I can hate on what I saw, so... I don't know what the hell they saw, but
it was the one dude from that, not the Outlaws.
Okay, what's his name? Noble?
Noble.
Was it Noble? Yeah. He had just wrote a letter.
An open letter to all hip hop.
You remember it more than me? Because I remember it, but I was a little distressed.
What was it?
I mean, I don't think he had beef with the movie.
He was just explaining that a lot of, he feels like some of the things that they're doing is entertainment purposes as opposed to, because he feels
every
like he
movie
was,
has that.
Yes,
that's why it's a movie.
Yes,
why it is a movie, and that's the hardest part about telling somebody's story. Mm. Is like when it's like, yeah, we want to have it to where when like you had this party, the people were like, it was a lot more women there. They were a lot better looking. It's like, no, it was the whole girls. Mm. I had on blue shoes. It wouldn't raise
the
shoes.
The fine detail.
The fine detail is real important to some people, and that's why they, usually they don't even let those people come onto the set.
Well, that's, if you want a real thing, that's a documentary.
Well, this is going to be
right. No, you're right.
Yeah, this is going
like,
to be
it's ridiculous. Like whoever's story it is, sometimes they don't even get a chance to come to the set.
He went deeper than that.
The person that wrote the movie,
he was saying that they weren't allowing them. Like their involvement in the film, the estate, the mother, like all this different stuff that he was throwing in.
It was like.
John Singleton,
it was
even like as damn, well. Yeah. John Singleton as well.
It was like if you read the letter,
there are differences in opinion and disagreements on every project.
Right, for sure.
And sometimes when it's just put out there in public, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody can
weigh in on it. But
you know why this is
going to
be more controversial? Is because. The reason why this is going to be more controversial is because Pac is not here to actually say no or yes. This is exactly how it happened. Like, the great thing about Straight Outta Compton is MC Ren is here.
Whose story is the All Eyes? I mean, who is it, whose perspective is it coming from?
I believe it's a Feeny. I'm not sure.
Nah, I don't think so.
No? It's from Pac's point of view?
I mean, saw parts of it.
I believe it's just a story being told from a writer's perspective that was given this from a collection of of people and information and research, which I think is usually the best way to do it. Because when you hear, you know, usually not just in speaking of Pac's case, but any movie, like, oh man, you know, no, I had $1 billion, no, I had a million, no, I had a billion, you know, right. And they, you know, that right. Donald Trump shit, you know,
and big up to Benny Boom because he has a very tough job right now. He has to pick up the phone since he started the Tupac project, but that's another story. Nigga thought I was calling for a role. Relax, nigga. I wanted a video.
I think a lot of it is it being made, but this was a film that was. That was to be made for a period of time.
Yes.
And so now the fact that Straight Outta Compton came out, and then everybody suddenly is like, oh, well, this is happening just because of this and that. And it's like people, for all the wrong reasons, are judging it. I think we just gotta kind of let it happen. You know?
For what it is.
Kind of let it happen.
And to go back, I want to go right back there. But to go back to what you asked me earlier. That was like my passion project, but I feel like you was asking hip hop.
Either one, no.
Big Pun.
One.
I would make the Big Pun movie.
That
Big Pun
movie?
Yeah, I would make the Big Pun movie.
But
yeah.
Pun, I love
his story got to be told.
Be
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But see, that's the thing about it is like, how do you do that? How do you even start that project? Mm-hmm. I know you got to go through the state. You know you got to go through that. But what if I'm telling Pun's story from my perspective?
That's why because, they call it autobiography right on.
Yeah, because I don't.
Well, that's the mess that he's talking about. It's perspectives.
Yeah, I don't feel it's necessary to go and ask somebody else's perspective on somebody I consider my best friend in hip hop.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like legally and technically, you don't have to go to a public figure. And say I'm gonna tell this life story, you know, and you know nobody wanted Lifetime Channel to tell the Jackson story.
Yeah, and TLC shit.
So you can't stop people from doing it, but when you don't have people's blessings, I think that
it makes it unauthentic. Yeah. It makes it unauthentic.
What doesn't make it unauthentic?
Just makes it rougher for that.
Yeah, it's just always messy, kind of.
Yeah, it's messy.
And it's like, who's making the money from this if we ain't?
Yeah.
Because it's not, it doesn't have that blessing doesn't mean it's not even more factual.
Right. Doesn't
it
mean
just
that.
Mean, you know, some people may not have wanted certain things to be seen or didn't want it to be money made off of it. And all. It could be a million different reasons why people have they beefs over something being made, or rather, the actual people or the family or whatever, a state.
Are we doing it?
I can tell you who I want, like, why I asked that, because you know who I want to play when you say Sizz Row? I want to play Jay Prince.
Woo!
I want to do his story.
Prince's story beat.
Like, rap a lot.
You mad smart.
Like, I don't want to do that type of shit.
But yeah, you can't be funny, though.
That's super gangster shit.
No, I mean,
but that would
from what I hear, he's kind of a little funny, too.
Yeah.
I've met him.
But not on camera. There's nothing.
No, I'm just saying, as far as, you don't have to be.
No, he is funny.
But it's not.
You don't have to be like, Jay Prince, I want to do the Freeway, Ricky Ross.
I thought you was talking about Freeway.
No, his story, he needs
at this point,
that movie needs to be made too.
Like, I want to do those two stories. Like, if I had to do somebody, I'd do those two.
Rick Ross. Freeway Rick Ross.
Yeah, Freeway Rick
you
Ross.
Because you can't do Freeway.
No. Yeah. I can't do that.
I'm your friend.
I'm talking about.
I feel like we're friends.
No.
I feel like I'm tell you, no.
No, I'm talking about the real Rick Ross.
This is where we got to stop. You can't do this.
Yeah.
I don't.
But we definitely. need to hear, if, even if it ain't from me doing Jay Prince.
Yeah, right? Jay Prince story.
That's
yeah.
It's like the foundation.
That, that needs to be
that
good.
Is dope.
The South, like, he's pretty yeah, much nah. Was the king.
Yeah, yeah, that is definitely,
dope.
Definitely.
That is dope.
You know what
dope.
I'm saying? He like the Russell right, Simmons
right,
of the South.
Right. Mm.
So him.
And Luke. Gotta give it to Luke.
I'm about to say Luke.
Come on.
Hear his story, too, because really, he brought all the freaky shit to hip-hop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
who could play Luke? That's funny.
Who can play Luke, but it'll be fun for them.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart. Play Luke?
Who?
I went too far?
Who's that?
Kevin Hart.
I went too far?
Nah, I just don't see
it. I can't see it.
You can't see it. Now, how does comedians feel about Kevin Hart? Being that Kevin Hart is like the forefront of comedy right now. Like, I always hear like Ari Spears. Right, like, I always hear like Ari Spears, and we've seen what just happened. God bless him. We didn't. I thought, well, I always thought comedians have a pass. I always felt like you could tell me anything and offend me, but the fact that you're a comedian, I'm going to give you the pass.
Uh-huh.
But how does comedians feel about like Kevin Hart? Because I hear people like Ari Spears say they say this and that about him.
I can't speak about comedians. I can just speak about how I feel about
him. Okay, that's even better than
that. I feel he deserves everything he gets because he worked hard. Too. He worked way harder than me.
You know, his first movie he ever made was called Paper Soldiers.
Yeah, I seen.
The first time you ever seen him on film with me.
Yeah. It wasn't because of you, though.
I feel like I got something to do with it.
He had nothing to do with that.
I thought we bonded.
No, we didn't.
Just act like it.
A little bit.
Yeah,
listen. Nah, but he deserved it. Because he did all that on his own.
Nah, he worked hard.
Hollywood had pretty much said fuck him after, because he was already popping in Hollywood. He had his own sitcom.
Soul Train put a little.
No, before Soul Plane, he had a sitcom and all that.
Yeah,
but it flopped. Yeah.
Not the husbands of Hollywood.
No, it was way before all this.
You before Soul Plane.
I forgot the name of it, but ask me. He had his own sitcom.
Get the fuck out of here. And it flopped.
Like, a lot of people have these sitcoms, them bitches go away, and you forget.
And you forget.
You know what I'm saying? So he's been in the record thing. He's done the run as far as in the Hollywood thing. And then he still... When he started doing his own thing, like when social media came out, the difference between me and him, he monetized on the shit. I was just having fun. I'm still having fun off the shit, but he actually took it and said, boom, and created his buzz, and he did all the shit his own. He deserved all that shit he getting.
I want the fans to listen. That is the new hottest word for 2017. Right. Monetize.
He did.
I hear that shit all the time.
Same thing
with
Khaled.
How you monetize?
I think it's always been a hot word.
Monetize.
I just, we starting to realize, like, hold up. Okay, we need to start monetizing.
So, but I took, because Kevin Hart is funny to me. So when I hear another comedian.
But comedy is subjective. What's funny to you might not be funny to me. What's funny to him.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? That's why you can't compare it to any. It's like rap. Like, we always, like in rap, you don't ever say who the best. I mean, like, it's only one rapper can pop. You got 1,000 rappers pop. You got new rappers. It's the same in comedian. You don't have to have just one favorite comedian. But people think you do. Niggas think you do. Niggas think only one comedian be at top. But shit, is there one? I mean, you have a rappers. You got all types of rappers out here. So it's just whatever your vice is.
There can only be one great country singer.
Yeah, no.
Garth
great
Brooks.
Rock singer.
Garth Brooks. That's my nigga.
You don't hear that shit.
In my mind, I smoke with him.
You don't hear that shit, but in comedy, as far as black comedy, we only can let one win.
There should be a wide range of choices, and I think that's what makes people even better, because it makes it a little bit more competitive in a good way. Because when there is a little competition, the you know, the fans always benefit.
Why do we don't have records like Self Destruction and All in the Same Gang?
Because it's the I don't give a shit here.
Yep. This is get high.
Now this is the have fun, think about the consequences later. That's one thing I will say about these kids. They ain't scared of shit.
These kids
ain't scared of nothing, but they don't realize, you know what comes with that, because they wasn't taught that. They just look at, like, if you look on social media, you want to have fun. Everything look fun, and they don't look like there's no consequences.
Yeah.
And even the foul shit, like the World Star era. Shit is fun. Like, yo, let's fun for likes.
But they got a bitch called Meet Me Outside, Catch Me Outside. She poppin'. How about that? And she poppin'. We are making bozos famous. Yeah. This is a fact.
Yeah, we got to stop.
But I mean, it ain't them that's making it, it's the people making it.
The people do it. You can't blame the person.
You can't blame the person.
No, I mean, blame the audience.
Catch you outside.
I mean, bitch.
I mean, you can't know that. It's the people.
Yeah,
it's the whole
She's supposed to chase it.
No, because is this. Is that.
It's all a reflection of the culture as itself. We all as humans.
Because we get dumber. As we get better in technology,
we get dumber. So we all a ball of emotions. Mm. So we're all emotions. So we all react first. That's why I always say fake care. Because we always fake care about something.
Well, that was always that filter, too.
I like that.
You know, it wasn't fake where caring. Everything that everybody does can be seen by so many so fast, so much.
We got so much.
Plus, you don't. People ain't living for themselves no more. They're living for the public.
But they want to show.
They're not enjoying their lives.
Back in the days when you shared a video, you had people come over to your house and you popped it in the thing and showed it to them.
And it was only one. Like Tiffany and Martin only came on once a week. And it was. I remember when the cable box only had 30 channels.
How old are you? You got old on us.
Come on, MySpace gave it away. All right.
Yeah, I was on MySpace.
But in all respect, the shit only still got 30 channels.
No, but I mean, but now, I mean, but you got a variety of stuff. It's just like social media and music. Right. Like, there's so much music out here.
Right. Too much.
And it's saturated.
That's why,
not saturated.
You know,
it's oversaturated.
That's why I always say, a nigga that don't follow nobody on social media is out of his mind. He's crazy because if you're just looking at your own shit, you don't understand that there's other people in the world doing some shit.
I've
you should just
said
look.
The social media is only as good as the people you follow.
Yeah. That's in everything. It's just like everything in life. I follow people that I got nothing in common with. Because I know all these. I know y'all niggas. I know y'all life.
Yeah.
I'm trying to learn other stuff.
I'm smoking. So I'm drinking. That's it. That's all
we know a certain thing, but I try to learn. That's how I learn through social media.
Like follow Bruce Jenner.
Yeah. I didn't
see that guy. You know where he went.
Yeah, like you ever slipped that in there.
I just asked, man. You know, I like
you. Follow Bruce Jenner?
Fuck no.
They were MySpace friends.
That's Brandon Rowan. They were MySpace friends.
You've been following since MySpace.
No.
That was his second friend. Tom and his
Bruce. No, but I mean, it's all how you use. It's just like a gun. It's, right. It's who use it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right,
you social media. It's anti social like media. It's about who uses. It's who uses.
I mean, how you use it. I mean, you can use it for protection, you can use it to kill somebody. You know, it's not like the gun.
We just seen it.
It's the same thing with the internet. It's some people learn from it. You got people that's learn more out of YouTube than they do in school. YouTube University. You can learn how to build a plane through the thing. So it's something there for people that need how to use it right. All you can learn how to build a bomb. So it's all in the person.
They got shit like that. Now, is there a person that's like off limits as a comedian? Like you, like it's a rumor. Like don't say nothing about him.
Old people don't really fuck with his kids.
Okay.
Everybody else, they all free.
They all free.
If I feel a certain type of way, I'm never going to be, one thing with me, I'm not a disrespectful nigga. But so, if I see something, you fuck up, I'm going to catch you. You know what I'm saying? That's how I am.
So we see just now, Ari Spears, I said his name right?
Yeah.
Ari Spears.
Yeah.
We see just now that he did a podcast and he was talking tough. They were talking tough to each other. And then the guy actually swung on Ari Spears.
The dude doing the interview?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he swung on him.
He swung on him.
I mean, but you asked for it. But if you said I can do this, do it.
But
I'm not going to tell you I can beat your motherfucking ass and be surprised when you beat my motherfucking ass. I'm going to fight back if I think that. I mean, that's how I would think.
I would expect that.
Right. Yeah, this nigga folded up. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
Right.
If I would, even I would have hugged him or something. Fake. See the camera right there. We finna toss him until that camera falls. And I'm tossing him towards that camera. I need a bitch to fall before the haymakers come out. If I know I can't beat you.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't know. I just... Maybe.
But I gotta say with that.
Okay.
I gotta say with that that Aries didn't attack, dude. And I just have to say that some of us.
I feel like Aries gonna sue.
Some of us can't handle a conversation, and no matter what somebody says, that's just what somebody says. It's a line you can push. I understand that. But at the same time, if I can get anybody in here to react, then I'm pretty strong.
But this is why I don't like to talk religion or politics, because I'm hearing this was over Obama. He said something about he shit on Obama, Ari Spears.
I don't even know exactly what it was about Obama, but it was something about Ari said something crazy about Obama.
Right.
So that's the only thing I knew, because I only saw that. You know, niggas ain't finna watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
When did it start fighting?
Yeah.
What was it? All right, put it right there. And that's all I call.
Oh, there's other niggas like that in the world?
There's everybody like that.
I always thought that was just
me. You look for the comment that says,
take me to tomorrow,
8:15,
I'm going right there.
Let me watch that.
One of Harry's is baiting this dude into it, and then now suing him or whatever. I'm not saying that's the case or nothing, but...
But I'm just saying. No, because for years... it was like an unwritten rule. Like, if a comedian goes too far, says something, he has the ultimate golden pass, that he's a comedian. He's
See, you thinking that most young people don't even know what a comedian is, for real, because they're taught off what they think comedians, them dudes on the internet. So they ain't never been to a stand-up show now, so they don't really know what comedians is. So in their minds... Like you say, y'all mind, you're like, oh, he's funny, he just talking crazy, and you ain't taking offense. Now, like, I got to a point, like, if I say something about a rapper, they'll call me. I'm like, is you for real? Khaled called me one time. I was like, man, you tripping, man.
What happened? Walk us through the Khaled call.
One time, you know, on Twitter, I always fuck with people. Right. A couple people call me. What's the dude, Sean Jarrett? This nigga got mad at me
because R&B nigga.
He got mad because I called him ugly. This, I swear to God. And so he called, I was like, nigga, I called you ugly, bro. Like, what, nigga, you a man. Like, I didn't believe, like, I didn't realize how soft a lot of people were to the internet.
Or how powerful you are.
I mean, maybe that's what it is.
Because you can shift the whole audience to think like that.
But that's like in the schoolroom. I treat like school, like, you know, I guess it's just people can't take that.
Or you don't know how powerful you are, because you know what it is? A lot of us got followers that go harder than we go, you can say,
yeah, they'll push the buttons for you.
But it happened to me all the time. You know how many times the Beehive and came to me?
Oh yeah,
you and it don't bother me.
But you gotta tell us the Khaled story. No, we ain't get the Khaled story. You gotta tell us the Khaled story.
Oh, the Khaled story was you know, he had Ace Hood,
right?
And he was promoting him, and Ace Hood came out, and Ace Hood came out the same day Jay-Z came out. So I tweeted something like, I don't know who the fuck would put this shit out while Jay-Z out. That was stupid. So Khaled called me, man, why don't you say that, man? You know, man, he works out. I said, Khaled, it's the truth for one. Man, you know I ain't being serious. I'm not trying to hurt this man.
Because
the funny thing about it, Ace was laughing, too. It's just Khaled was passionate about it.
He's super passionate.
No, Ace got his advance already. That's why. But Khaled was like, he need to make that back.
I guess that's what it was, but...
You fucked it up.
I'm thinking because... At the end of the day, I'm a stand-up comedian. I've been in the room, like, they used to do Miami Improv in Coconut Grove. They all came to see me perform, and I rank on them all day in there.
That's all that happens was, there, get ranked on.
Only thing that, one person that ranked back was Trick Daddy. Like, Trick Daddy used to come back and forth with people, but everybody else, they knew what it was. So I'm thinking, we can do that now, but on the internet, they wasn't with that shit. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no.
Niggas is really...
That's you gotta realize, when an artist makes an album, we ain't never looking at it like, this is a throwaway. We always looking at it like...
This is that one.
So probably, you don't know, you might have shifted energy. You ain't mean it.
Yeah.
You ain't mean it.
I understand what I'm a comedian.
Yeah, but...
This is like you.
Yeah, but
what did you say earlier? Some niggas don't even know what a comedian is.
He used to come to the comedy clubs.
The problem is, you got a million followers. You got, you know, these people following you. And there's certain people that wake up in the morning that just gonna do what you do.
What I say.
They look at you and they say, oh, this nigga done went to Starbucks. I'm going to Starbucks right now.
Man, I remember all the time on Def Comedy Jam, like when Anthony Mason was in the crowd and somebody on stage shitted on him so bad. And it wasn't no big deal.
Yeah.
Like we had roast. It wasn't no big deal.
We
like, you know how bad, like,
we're in the Ferguson era.
Snoop is a perfect example.
It's a public stage. Social media is a public stage.
Snoop is a perfect example. You can say anything about Snoop, and he probably laugh harder than you will.
That's
how I would think all rappers would. And repost it. Because they don't take it serious, because like, it ain't personal. I can tell you something.
Snoop will have fun, he'll post something.
He'll diss himself.
He'll
diss himself. I seen Snoop.
No, you're talking about how people. Snoop might talk about somebody and they get mad. Right. And it's joking. Come on, people just can't take jokes.
That's the problem with social media. Because remember, Fabulous and Ray J got into it over a tweet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's very dangerous out there. But at the end of the day, I understand why. Because it's like, unless we had just talked about what we had did earlier. That's the part of the game the fans will never see. Just us just sitting around smoking. It's the same thing we're doing now, but now we know the cameras is on. But earlier, we did the same exact thing. We sat around smoke, but people don't know that side of the story. So when Lil Duval goes, man, he offends beard is white as shit. He offend knows you playing, but then it's all your friends. Yo, you fucking your white beard motherfucker.
It's all your fans that you don't know.
I know, but they,
But he's saying that some other people, the way they
get offended. But that's what I'm saying. That's why I said people ain't like me. Like, I don't take
stuff down.
Because, like, people come to me all the time and say,
but that's what makes you who you are.
That's why you enjoy life.
Do you know how many people, they don't post a picture saying I'm sucking some big, fat lady toe.
And I'm like, I thought you were going somewhere else.
No, that's what I'm saying. They say I'm sucking some big fat lady.
Y'all send me that.
The way he went like this.
Don't post that. Yeah, put grown eyes in there.
I'm about to get everybody to see this.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Stuff like that, I be laughing and like, y'all think this
take
is
a joke.
You know, I can take a joke.
Not everybody can take a joke. That's the problem.
Everybody can't take a joke. People are insecure, especially artists. They really insecure.
And you know what it is? It's like I said, like the Beehive. Like the Beehive and all that. It's people who really think they're talking to you. Mm-hmm. They don't really think that we just look at it and say, oh, look at this me. Mm-hmm. Erase, delete. And they don't think that we're doing that. They're thinking that we're basing our whole life off of this comment that they just said. And that's why life
is. But Beehive come at me all the time.
Yeah, you gotta watch out.
But that don't bother me. Like it's like that's why I never understood
Cyberbullying. But the Beehive is very dangerous. Beyonce's fans, leave them alone. I'm gonna throw that out there.
They did to you.
No. I don't want the problem with the main enemy.
They came
them to
me, but they ain't never did nothing.
Like, well, what did you say for them to come at you?
I don't know, but everything I say is never disrespectful. Right. So I can always defend. Every time they come, I'll repost it and be like, boom, kill their ass. Because they be kids. Most of the time, most of the motherfuckers, they be talking crazy. Right. Be kids.
Bored ass motherfuckers.
Yeah,
And Rihanna's people. You can't fuck with Rihanna people.
Now. I didn't have every hive you can think of.
They cyber thugs.
They got the whole hive.
That shit don't bother me, man.
Snoop got a whole army of people. If you fuck with Snoop, he send them out.
Our Drink Champs army goes in. But they go in on us as well.
Because
they think they know us.
The model hoes got a hive, too.
The model hoes be having hives.
Like, all them hoes got a hive. Everybody got a hive. I done had all of them.
Yeah, but
none of them bother me.
Future's hive is very disrespectful. You seen what they be doing to Russell Wilson? Oh my god. Oh my god. They be in Russell Wilson comments. I'm gonna tell you who got the illest comments.
Ooh.
Birdman, Mary J. Blige's husband.
What are you talking about? As people or their fans?
No,
like
comments.
The comments.
Oh,
Russell Wilson. Listen. Anytime I'm having a bad day, I just go look at them niggas' comments. I'm like, that's
you gotta
like
read
Jerry
my comments. You gotta read my comments.
I'll be looking. And look, they all rich as a motherfucker, so they ain't nobody. But I have a bad day, but like, look, I'm gonna go to Birdman shit. Yo, pay Lil Wayne, nigga. Like, yo, Rick Ross. I'm like, all right, cool, that's cool. But Mary's fans be killing this nigga. Yo, oh my. Yo, you gotta go. Yo, have a bad day. Have a good day. And look at this nigga's comments. I don't follow him nothing. I just be like, yo, shit.
Are you the only one to know you?
I don't like nothing.
Well, he's about to find out.
You're not here. You was never here.
I was never here. Yo, the ladies be like, you scumbag, motherfucker.
Oh, they trolling the shit out of
you. You better leave Mary alone. Give her money. I be like, but cause now I'm gonna say something that I not love Mary, but I feel like she should pay him all the relationships that guys been through, and they have to pay. Mary is up. I love you, Mary. I'm so sorry. But I feel like you not pay him what he asking for.
Is this the liquor talking?
But you gotta pay him something. He went through turmoil too.
Did he?
in my mind. I don't know nothing personal.
He has no,
I have no personal idea. But listen.
This nigga like he really know him.
Listen, listen. No, I don't know. I don't know.
He knows what
comes. Long lay over there getting the tea like, huh?
Yeah, that's why I straightened up.
Yeah,
she gave me that look, and I'm like, damn, Mary might have my phone number somewhere. So, no, but what I'm saying is, as many guys broke up, and they had to pay alimony, what's it called?
Alimony.
That shit.
Yeah.
Now, you know the coldest?
As many, but this nigga deserve a little something. You know I don't think he deserve everything he asking for, but he been with Mary for 10 years.
It's supposed to be the spouse that makes the more money. Supposed to.
What you think about the Janet Jackson thing?
No, Janet got up. She got up.
She got up.
That was a move. $500 million.
That was fucked up, baby. Though, man. Come on.
That's what I'm saying. So
what happened? What happened?
Oh, you ain't know.
You ain't hear about that?
Their prenuptial says she have a baby. She gets $500 million. So
from homie.
From you know this is drunk facts, by the way.
Right.
So she had the baby. Once she had the baby, she broke out. $500 million is hers. Let's make some noise for Janet being the best hustler of the year.
Couple months after,
give me your dick, nigga. Mm-hmm. That's it. Boom. Get me pregnant. I'm out. I got the 500.
Now she got, how old is she?
500. I don't know.
She got like pregnant?
Close to 60.
Yeah.
Damn. Her ovaries off the chain.
I don't think she did it like the normal way, though.
Nah.
Yeah, I think somebody else had it, or she
nigga.
She had the eggs coming in or some shit.
Listen, there's no way. You are Penny from Good Times. You are penetrating. We ain't doing no traditional. What is that? Squeeze that shit up in there. Nah.
Artificial insemination.
If that nigga ain't fucking Janet, he gotta be
there. Janet might not mean as much to him as he mean to us.
Nah. Because
he's from a whole other country.
Nah, but.
That's just like a toy to him.
Everybody had good times.
Nah, what he's saying.
Nah.
That dude ain't looking at the same way.
Janet.
They Islam too. Ain't they Muslim?
Wait, what do you mean everybody had good times? Janet ain't no ho. Oh, you're talking about the show.
The show. They ain't have good times over there.
Look at that. Yo, listen, man. Once again, go see Grow House dropping 420 on 420 all across America. They sit here, they hung out. I smoked $1,000 blunt. That shit got me fucked up. I drink a whole bottle of Ciroc and De Leon to the self, even though it's not really real. But I did that, man. We having fun. Thank you guys for coming through.
Thank you.
High five, man. And yo, and this is real because there was no publicist involved. There wasn't. We just seen each other. Said how you doing.
When I saw your snap, I told Haz on the plane. I hope he told him to do the podcast.
I did that.
We over here the podcast.
And the drink champs, goddamn it.
Drink champs.
Yeah.
Look at my robe. It's mad expensive.
Expensive.
One love. Drink Chance Motherfucking Podcast. Hey!